Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani, member by Ram Goldar, and here with Zechus Baba Kama, Daf Mem of the fourth parak, Shor Shanagach. The fourth parak has been generously sponsored with Zechun Nishmas, Rosh Hadvor Bas Arna Kohen Al Hashem. May your neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission teaches about an ox which kills a person, that a muad would pay kofra and a tam would not, but even a tam is stoned to death. The Gemara said, since a tam is killed, how can it become a muad to kill people? Seven answers are offered and four remain. Number one, kagon shesikin l'shosha b'nei adam, where it mortally injured three people who died after the third goring, rendering the ox a muad then and obligating its owner in kofar. Number two, dekatav ark l'agma, where it killed and fled to a swamp before it could be sentenced to death for its first killing, and then did so again after its second killing. Number three, the original witnesses who testified to the first two killings were discredited through hazama and reinstated after the third killing. And number four, the witnesses could not identify which of the oxen was the killer before the third goring, so it could not be stoned earlier. He still pays kofar for its third killing because he's told you have a goring ox among your cattle, you must guard all your cattle. Point number two, a braisa discusses the laws of a shor niskal, a condemned ox. Since it's stoned to death, it's obvious that it cannot be eaten, lacking shechita, so why does the Torah need to write, lo yachel b'saro, its flesh shall not be eaten? It teaches Shim Shchatu Lacher Shenigmar Dino, if he shechted it after its sentence was finalized, but before it was stoned, Asur B'Achila, it's forbidden in consumption. The Braisa then derives that it's even prohibited in Hana and benefit from the phrase Ubal Shor Naki, and the owner of the ox is clean, which is interpreted as an expression like one who says Yatza Ish Poni Naki Menuchasov. Pony went out clean from his possessions. Vein Lo Behem Hana Shal Klum, and he has no Hana from them at all. Later, the Gemara explains that since Rabbi Avot taught that the phrase lo yachel already includes a prohibition from hana, from benefit, the phrase Baal Shor Naki instead teaches that its hide is also prohibited in benefit. According to Tanaim who darshan Baal Shor Naki differently, the hide is prohibited based on es b'saro, which includes es atafel b'saro, that which is tafel to its flesh, meaning the hide. And point number three, in a braisa was taught, the pasuk says, Ubal Shor Naki, and the ox's owner is absolved from payment, which Rabbi Eliezer explains, Naki Mechatzi Kofer, the owner of the tam is absolved from paying half kofer. Rabbi Kiva asks why a pasuk is necessary. Behu Atzma Ein Mishtalim El Magufa, why half kofer itself would only have been paid from the ox's body. And since this ox is killed, and Asur B'Hana, let him say, Havi'e Ulevastin Ve'yeshalem Lecha, bring the ox to court and it will pay you. Rabbi Yezer, is that how I'm in your eyes? That you think my drasha is with this ox which is liable to death? Rather, the cases where a single witness or the owner himself testified to the killing based on which the ox would not be killed. Still, since Rabbi Yezer holds kofar is an atonement, such testimony would be adequate to obligate kofar. On another occasion, he answered the cases where the ox intended to kill an animal or Gentile and inadvertently killed a Jew for which it's not killed, but would pay kofar. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next mission teaches about an ox which kills a person, that a muad would pay kofar and a tam would not, but even a tam is stoned to death. The Gemara said, since a tam is killed, how can it become a muad to kill people? Seven answers are offered and four remain. Number one, kagon shesikin l'shosha b'nei adam, where it mortally injured three people who died after the third goring, rendering the ox a muad then and obligating its owner in kofar. Number two, dekatav ark l'agma, where it killed and fled to a swamp before it could be sentenced to death for its first killing, and then did so again after its second killing. Number three, the original witnesses who testified to the first two killings were discredited through hazama and reinstated after the third killing. And number four, the witnesses could not identify which of the oxen was the killer before the third goring, so it could not be stoned earlier. He still pays kofar for its third killing because he's told you have a goring ox among your cattle, you must guard all your cattle. Point number two, a braisa discusses the laws of a shor niskal, a condemned ox. Since it's stoned to death, it's obvious that it cannot be eaten, lacking shechita, so why does the Torah need to write lo yachel b'saro, its flesh shall not be eaten? It teaches Shim Shchatu Lacher Shenigmar Dino, if he shechted it after its sentence was finalized, but before it was stoned, Asur B'Achila, it's forbidden in consumption. The Braisa then derives that it's even prohibited in Hana and benefit from the phrase Ubal Shor Naki, and the owner of the ox is clean, which is interpreted as an expression like one who says Yatza Ish Poni Naki Menuchasov. Pony went out clean from his possessions. Vein Lo Behem Hana Shal Klum, and he has no Hana from them at all. Later, the Gemara explains that since Rabbi Avot taught that the phrase lo yachel already includes a prohibition from hana, from benefit, the phrase Baal Shor Naki instead teaches that its hide is also prohibited in benefit. According to Tanaim who darshan Baal Shor Naki differently, the hide is prohibited based on es b'saro, which includes es atafel b'saro, that which is tafel to its flesh, meaning the hide. And point number three, in a braisa was taught, the pasuk says, Uba ha'shor naki, and the ox's owner is absolved from payment, which Rebbe Eliezer explains, naki mechatzi kofer, the owner of the tam is absolved from paying half kofer. Rebbe Akiva asks why a pasuk is necessary. Bahu atzma ein mishtalim el magufa, why half kofer itself would only have been paid from the ox's body. And since this ox is killed and asu bahana, let him say, havi'eu lebeisin v'yeshalem lecha, bring the ox to court and it'll pay you. Rebbe Eliezer, Kendra, Kachani Bei Necho, Shadini Bezeh, Shechayiv Misa, is that how I'm in your eyes? That you think my drasha is with this ox which is liable to death? Rather, the cases where a single witness or the owner himself testified to the killing based on which the ox would not be killed. Still, since Rebbe Eliezer holds kofar is an atonement, such testimony would be adequate to obligate kofar. On another occasion, he answered the cases where the ox intended to kill an animal or Gentile and inadvertently killed a Jew for which it's not killed, but would pay kofar. All right, so now we go to our siman daf mem alef, and our standard siman relates to a ma, a mother, and we use a grandma to make the siman a little more distinct. So here goes. The grandma who was saddened when she was informed that a killer short tam became a mu'ud after the three people had injured all died after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely aser bahana, got some good news that she didn't have to pay chatzi kofer when another short tam of hers intended to kill an animal and inadvertently killed a Jew, once again, so motion. The grandma, that must mean one daf mem alef, ma. The grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer short tam became a mu'ud after the three people had injured all died after the third goring, which reminds us, the more discusses how an ox can become a mu'ud to kill people before being stoned. Since the tam is killed, how can it become a mu'ud to kill people? Seven answers are offered and four remain, one being kagon shesikin l'shlosha b'nei adam, where it mortally injured three people who died after the third goring, rendering the ox a mu'ud then and obligating its owner in kofar. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that a killer short tam became a mu'ud after the three people had injured all died after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely aser bahana, which reminds us of Braisa discusses the laws of a shoha niskal, a condemned ox. Since it's stoned to death, it's obvious that it cannot be eaten, lacking shechita. So why does the Torah need to write lo ya'achil es psaro? Its flesh shall not be eaten. It teaches shim shechat l'achor shenigmar dino, if he shechted it after its sentence was finalized, but before it was stoned, aser b'achila, it's forbidden in consumption. We learn from ba'al ha'shor naki that the shor is also aser bahana. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer short tam became a mu'ud after the three people had injured all died after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely aser bahana, got some good news that she didn't have to pay chatzi kofer when another short tam of hers intended to kill an animal and inadvertently killed a Jew, which reminds us, in a braisa was taught, the pasuk says, Ubal shor naki, and the ox's owner is absolved from payment, which Rebbe Eliezer explains, naki mechatzi kofer, the owner of a tam is absolved from paying half kofer. Rebbe Eliezer gave different explanations of the case, one being where the ox intended to kill an animal or Gentile, and inadvertently killed a Jew, for which it's not killed, but would pay kofer. So once again, the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that a killer short tam became a mu'ud after the three people had injured all died after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely aser bahana, got some good news that she didn't have to pay chatzi kofer when another short tam of hers intended to kill an animal and inadvertently killed a Jew. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazar. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the siman Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The shor that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players. Laser tag? That must mean we're in Daf Lamed Zayin. The shor that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players, but not the players from the blue team, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the din of a shor that is moved to certain species and not to others. It pays full damages for what it's moved for and half damages for what it's not moved for. So the shor that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players, but not the players from the blue team, and then began to knock down alternating red team players, which reminds us, we discuss an animal which is mu'ud l'sirugin, mu'ud for damaging in an alternate fashion, where it gores the first ox, but not the second ox, the third one, but not the fourth one, and so on. So the shor that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players, but not the players from the blue team, and then began to knock down alternating red team players, turned out to be an ox of Hekdesh, and was putter from payment, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Shor Shi Yisrael Shenagach Shor Shel Hekdesh. If the ox of an ordinary Jew gored an ox of Hekdesh, Mishal Hekdesh Shenagach Shor Shel Hediot, or an ox of Hekdesh gored an ox of an ordinary Jew, Pater, the owner is exempt because the pasuk says, Shor Re'ehu, the ox of his fellow, implying, Vlo Shor Shel Hekdesh, and not an ox of Hekdesh. Daf Lamed Ches. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a Devralach, a liquid, and we often use chicken soup. So here goes. The non-Jew being covered with a bowl of chicken soup. Chicken soup, that must be more on Daf Lamed Ches. Devralach. The non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for his short tum goring a Jew's ox, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that if a Jew's ox gores a Gentile's ox, he's putted, but in the reverse case, the Gentile pays full damages even for a tum. The Gemara asks that if Re'ehu excludes a Gentile from receiving damages from a Jew, it should also exempt him from paying damages to a Jew, and if he's not excluded, then a Jew should also have to pay his damages. Rabbi Avoh answered based on a pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Sheva Mitzvahs, which B'nai Noach accepted upon themselves, since they did not keep them, Amud Vehitir Mamonun Yisrael, he arose and released their money to Yisrael. So the non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for his shor, goring a Jew's ox, sat at the She'ena Metzuvah Va'osa table while the Jew sat at the Metzuvah Va'osa table, which reminds us, Rabbi Chanina said, Gadol HaMetzuvah Va'osa Yosef Mimi She'ena Metzuvah Va'osa, greater is the one who acts to fulfill a law who is commanded to do so, the one who acts but was not commanded to do so. So the non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for a short tum, goring a Jew's ox, sat at the She'ena Metzuvah Va'osa table while the Jew sat at the Metzuvah Va'osa table and were being served by two daughters of a man who slept in a cave, which reminds us Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapech schar kol bria." HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold reward from any creature, afil schar sicha, not even reward for fine speech. For regarding Lot's older daughter who named her child from him, Moav, from father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, "Va'al tizkar b'mochama," do not incite war against Moav, implying that although they could not wage war against them, they could enact levies against them. But regarding Lot's younger daughter, who used the less explicit term, Ben Ami, son of my people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Va'al tizkar b'm." Klal, do not incite against them at all. Dafil angari l'tavid behu, meaning that even levies may not be enacted against them. Daf Lamates. So the simmer Daf Lamates is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the simmon. So here goes. The mailman, that must be more in Daf Lamates, letter. The mailman who was appointed as an apotropus for an orphan who had a violent ox, which reminds the more discusses if damages of an incompetent person's mu'ud are collected from him or his apotropus. So the mailman who was appointed as an apotropus for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a mu'ud, which reminds us in a braisa about an owner who became incompetent or traveled abroad. Sumko said, it remains in its tum state, adshi idubo b'nei balim, until they testify about it before the owners. But the Chachamim say we appoint an apotropus and accept testimony about the oxen in his presence. If the owner returns to competency, Sumka says, Chazot Muso, it returns to its tum state. But Rav Yossi says, Harbu Cheskaso, it remains in its current mu'ud state. Since Simcha is made clear in the second case that the ox did become a mu'ud, the Gemara reinterprets the statement in the first case, Hari Hubit Mimuso, it remains in its entirety, meaning we do not reduce his ownership of it by collecting half damages from its body. So the mailman who was appointed as an apotropus for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a mu'ud, was notified that because he only did a shmir b'chusa, he was chayv chasi nezek, because of tzad tamus b'mkoma omedes, which reminds us, in a brice Rabbi Yaakov said that the ox of an incompetent person pays half damages. Rav explains the case is a mu'ud, which he guarded with a shmir b'chusa, an inferior guarding. Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yudu holds on Daf Mem Hey, tzad tamus b'mkoma omedes, the tam portion of a mu'ud remains in its place, such that half of the full payment retains the halakas of tam. He further holds like Rabbi Yudu there, that although an inferior guarding does not exempt a tam from half damages, it does exempt a mu'ud from full damages. Daf Mem, so the simon Daf Mem relates to mayim, water, and we use a pool. So here goes. The apotropus watching Yisomim in the pool. Pool, that must be on Daf Mem, mayim. The apotropus watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofir, which reminds us, a brisa teaches where an apotropus who is appointed over orphan's oxen, kofir is not paid for a mu'ud killing someone. This time holds kufr kapara, kofir payment is an atonement, and orphans who are minors need no atonement. The Gemara brings machlokas regarding whose value is paid in kofir, the value of the nizak or the mazik. So the apotropus watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofir, was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tum, discovered the shore was a mu'ud, indicating Rishus Eina Mishana, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Shal Becheska's tum, if one borrowed an ox with the assumption it was a tum, the nimsa mu'ud, and it was found to be a mu'ud, the owner pays half damages and the borrower pays half damages. The borrower pays half because he accepted it as a tum, and the second half is the owner's responsibility for not informing the borrower. The Gemara clarifies the cases where the borrower discerned initially the animal's violent nature. So the apotropa is watching Yasomim in the pool, splashing and singing. They're not chayv and kofar. Was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tam discover the shore was amud, indicating rishus ena mashane. While another ox the lifeguard borrowed that became amud in his rishus reverted to becoming a tam when returned to the owner, which reminds us in the brisa I just mentioned, the animal remained amud when it was borrowed, indicating the Tana holds rishus ena mashane. The change in rishus does not change the ox's status. The Gemara asks that the brisa's second case indicates the opposite. If it became amud in the borrower's house and he returned to the owner pays half damages and the borrower is completely exempt. This proves the animal reverts to tam status when it changes to the owner's rishus. Rabbi Yochanan says the brisas are incompatible and reflect two different opinions. Two more answers are brought. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we discuss if damages of an incompetent person's muad are collected from him or his apotropos? That's on daf. Lamatas. Good. Number two, which stuff do we discuss how an ox can become a muad to kill people before being stoned when even a tam is stoned if it kills someone? That's on daf. Memov. Good. Number three, which stuff do you discuss who gets to collect first when a short tum gores four or five oxen, one after the other? That's on duff. Lamedvav. Good. Number four, which stuff do we discuss why an oxen became a mood in the borrower's rishus becomes a tum when returned to the owner? That's on duff. Mem. Good. Number five, which stuff do we see that Kosh Baruch Hu does not withhold schar from any creature, even reward for fine speech, which we learn from Lot's daughters? That's on duff. Good. Number six, which of the one the Rabbi Lezer says we learn from the pasuk Ubal Shor Naki that the owner of a tam is puter from paying chatzin nezek? That's on daf. Memov. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you discuss what the din is in a case where one thought he was borrowing a tam, but in fact it was a muad? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Number eight, which stuff be the case of a shor which is mud lamino but is not muad l'she'enu mino? That's on daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number nine, which daf do you discuss whether a muad returned to its owner remains in its muad state? That's on daf. Lamed Tes. Good. Number ten, which of the one ashore in Niskal is forbidden to be eaten after the Gemar Din and is also Asur B'Hanah? That's on daf. Mem Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichur Rishina. A great day and great learning.